So at the tail end of the last podcast, I was talking about the large-scale films that would be predicted. And we do see these filaments. We see them with the tentacles that would be predicted as hot energy spits out or spins off to the side as it slows down. We would predict there to be a overwhelming number of bodies that are going to collide with a similar angle. And so we would expect both quasars and galaxies to have similar axes of rotation. Not all of them, but more than we could explain based on how far apart they are in all different areas. We see this, but can't explain it. Well, the Big Bang theory as it stands now can't explain it. We also see many galaxies sharing the same relative rate of rotation. That's also predicted. When you have these bodies colliding at the same relative trajectory and relative velocity, then those side collisions that are not head-on, or some of those secondary collisions, we would expect an overwhelming number of them to have a very similar nature to them. We would predict them to have a similar rate of rotation, a similar amount of heat released. We would also predict that across all three spatial dimensions, we should see a roughly 50-50 split of clockwise and counterclockwise spinning galaxies, certain types of spiral galaxies, ones that may have been created, you know, at the same time as the Big Bang, but not necessarily all directly related to spawning from a filament type collision. A head-on collision. The more angular momentum retained by separate collisions, we would then see. But that angular momentum would be approximately the same for an overwhelming number of these bodies. So we would predict a similar angular momentum to produce a similar to create a similar amount of heat, a similar amount of energy, a similar axis of rotation, a similar similar rate of rotation potentially. And these are observations that we do see that are not well explained by the current theory. The filament nature, as well as the similar nature of the galaxies that we can't quite explain, are predicted if we had a collision between two pockets of space-time. But there's more than just that. We based our assumption of a hot, dense center because we can gauge the approximate size of the CMB, the cosmic microwave background, the leftover radiation from the Big Bang. We can gauge the approximate size of that. The period of time we're talking about was called recombination, where that hot energy recombined back into atoms. Prior to recombination, the temperature was so high that electrons could not form stable atomic orbits. And without nuclei to orbit around, they are just free scattering. And it prevents photons from behaving as photons. They can't quite move as waves of light when all of the electrons are bouncing around. So as the temperatures cooled to approximately 3,000 Kelvin, electrons could again begin circling nuclei, atoms could form, and then nebulous gas and everything, black holes and stars and all of the stuff we're familiar with began to take shape. The estimated size of the Big Bang being smaller than a golf ball was because we extrapolated A, an expanding universe, and B, the size of the CMB. So we say, okay, the CMB was about this big. We see everything expanding after it. It must have been expanding before it also. And so we use the expansion or the inflation, which they used to explain the Eisen problem, as the reason for driving a Big Bang, and then they threw in quantum fluctuations as a way to make sense of it. But instead, if our initial size of the patch that created our visible universe was maybe 60% or 70% of the size of the CMB at the time of recombination, then we would not have needed 380,000 years of cooling. Okay, right now, the temperature was so high, the temperature that we can't tell you how it happened, was so high, it took 380,000 years to cool down. However, if we started with an area that was 60%, 70%, maybe even 80% of the CMB, possibly as high as 90% the size of the CMB, where that span of space relative to us had those collisions occurring that formed the hot energy that cooled into our visible universe, we maybe only needed 380,000 days, maybe 380,000 weeks, maybe 380,000 hours, who knows? But not 380,000 years, because we would not have needed 10 to the 35 Kelvin, 10 to the power of 35 Kelvin. We may have only needed 10 to the power of 6 or 10 or 12 Kelvin, something much more manageable, producible through laws of physics as we understand them. And we can produce models over time, mathematical models, to simulate what we would predict if this happened, and build models that will help us learn the superluminal physics that we don't understand. Because we can apply different parameters to how we can expect the laws of physics to behave superluminally, and then gauge the results, and when we get results that begin to look like what our universe looks like, then we know we're on the right path. Let's see. So we've explained many of the different mysteries of science. We can have, because if we have separate frames of reference, if we ever saw a body passing through our frame of reference, a body with mass, moving faster than the speed of light, that would further validate that there is more than one frame of reference, more than our visible universe. And the moment we can prove the existence of a second frame of reference outside our visible universe, the only conclusion is there must be an infinite number of other pockets of space-time. You can have one, or you can have an infinite number, but you can't have two, three, or four, or any number in between. It's either one or it's infinite. Okay? And so that means if we see a body with mass moving through our space-time at superluminal speeds, the only logical assumption, or the only logical conclusion, would be that it must have originated from outside of our frame of reference. If it passed through our frame of reference, it passed nearby a nebula or through a nebula, we would expect to ignite hundreds, if not thousands, of pockets of gas that would be short-lived and burn bright. We've already seen this happen. We didn't know what caused it. They're called red transients, and they're being tracked by a volunteer project called the VASCO project. So look it up if you want to help out. We would expect something called blue transients, where a faster-than-light collision with a body caused a huge release of energy greater than what we would predict from a supernova explosion. We've seen blue transients that we can't quite explain. But the real test will be if we see stars going dark and cold in succession in a straight line and able to measure through spectral analysis the path of body moving between them at faster than light speeds. That is potentially something that the James Webb Telescope has now seen. More in the next episode. Live long and prosper. May the Force be with you. 42.